Welcome to the Veterans Ascend Weekly Podcast. Today, we are honored to speak with Marine Corps veteran Eduardo Maldonado. Ed is a detail-oriented and tech-savvy recruiter with a passion for helping others. Whether using behavioral techniques, clearly communicated requirements, or understanding hiring manager preferences, he is passionate about candidate experience and best practices. Ed served 8 years in the United States Marine Corps as an infantryman and canvassing recruiter. He deployed to Iraq on two different occasions where he was awarded the Combat Action Ribbon along with other commendations. He also has the honor of having a lifelike cast figure at the National Museum of the Marine Corps, which we're so interested in hearing about. Ed is currently the Talent Acquisition Military Programs Leader at DuPont. DuPont's pledge to veterans extends beyond a hiring quota. Their longstanding commitment to veterans includes an internal DuPont Veterans Network that advocates on veterans affairs and employment issues at the company. The network contributes to the professional development of network members, supports the hiring and retention of veterans as a diverse talent pool, and helps new employees make a successful transition from military to civilian work. We are privileged to hear about Ed's journey, his military service, and his transition, specifics about the great programs at DuPont, and his advice to transitioning service members and veterans. So Ed, thank you very much for your time today. Please tell us about your service in the Marine Corps and your transition. And I have to caveat that by saying my nephew is active duty Marine Corps right now. He is deployed overseas in the Middle East and just re-enlisted for another tour, another 4 years. And will be an instructor down in Paris Island. So
that's top duty right there.
Right? Yeah. So he's a rifleman. So and he's very, very good at it. So that's what he'll be being instructing new Marines on. So tell us about your service in the Marine Corps and then about your transition.
Awesome. Very good. So first and foremost, just let him know that I said thank you for his service. It's always appreciated, you know, when we hear those words coming from another person. But thank you for having me. It's a pleasure, you know, to be able to share my story with you today. So to tell you a little bit about my Marine Corps experience, with my parents' consent at the age of 17, I joined the Marine Corps straight out of high school. It was one of my biggest passions. While in high school, but not throughout the entire time in high school. And I'll tell you why. Because one of the major reasons why I joined the Marine Corps was due to the September 11th attacks. That really, you know, triggered something in me that, you know, I wanted to join it. And it was kind of, I guess, my way of retaliating, you know, for what happened. So, you know, that's one of the major reasons why I joined the Marine Corps. I also wanted to join because I wanted to get away from where I was from. I come from a great family, very supportive family. However, where I grew up is, you know, not the best place to raise a family. So I wanted to get out of that type of environment and, you know, and not become a product of my environment. So, you know, shortly after graduating boot camp, I became an infantryman. I went to the School of Infantry in Camp Geiger, North Carolina. Shortly after graduation, I served with 3rd Battalion, 6th Marines, where I deployed to two deployments in Iraq, as you mentioned earlier. Shortly after, my time in the infantry, I served a couple of years in Quantico, where I would share my Iraq stories with historians, junior and senior officers, and DoD civilians. I was under the Marine Corps Education Command. So a major part of my job there was to talk about the different experiences that I had while in Iraq to junior officers and senior officers so they can better strategize at the War College. So I was in Quantico for a couple of years. I then volunteered to become a Marine Corps recruiter. I did that for a few years, and I would ultimately separate from the Marine Corps, from being a recruiter. Now, I was, you know, getting out of the Marine Corps was one of the hardest decisions I ever had to make, even more so than that of joining. You know, joining, I was convinced about. But getting out, I wasn't too convinced about. I was nervous as to what the civilian world held for me. But I also knew that I wanted to get my college degree. So I decided, you know, I'm going to get out, I'm going to go to college, and I'm going to move forward with, you know, what I really want to do. So that's what I did. I put my 9/11 Pulse benefits to use, and 4 years later, I graduated from Rutgers University with a degree in marketing and another in political science. Just to give you a quick background as to what I did after graduating college. Immediately after graduating college, I was asked to if I was interested in running for office in my legislative district. That's something that I always had a passion for. I was part of a couple of political panels while an undergrad at Rutgers University. And while being part of these political panels, that's when, you know, individuals from certain parties started reaching out to me, asking me if I was interested in running. And that's what I did. I ran for New Jersey's 4th legislative district for their assembly, for one of their assembly seats. And unfortunately, I lost to their incumbent office holder. But, you know, it was great experience. And I do plan on, you know, doing that again in the future. So, you know, while running for office for state assembly, I was hired as a contractor for Verizon Corporate. I worked with, for Verizon for a couple of years as a military recruiter, where I did a lot of the stuff similar to what I'm doing now. Now I'm more in charge of the different programs that we're going to start incorporating for veteran recruitment. And, you know, once my contract expired with Verizon, I immediately started working for DuPont as, you know, the position that I have right now, Talent Acquisition Program Leader.
That's awesome. So a couple things. I think talking about my nephew again, you know, he had the same passion. Of course, he was only 4 years old when 9/11 happened, but mm-hmm. he had the same growing up. He always wanted to be a Marine. There was just something about it, and very, very much so. I mean, I served in the Navy, so, but I found a lot of Marines have that same, there's just something very inherent in you that draws you to be a Marine, and it's just very special. So thank you for that, and just all that you're doing, and so as we talk about DuPont's programs, I'll kind of off the cuff, I'd like to hear your perspective on, we hear a lot about the employers not understanding military, not understanding their skills, and how they can hire more veterans and get them in. But talk to us specifically about DuPont's programs there and their veteran network and what they're doing specifically around helping veterans create successful transitions.
Of course. And, you know, prior to me accepting this position with DuPont, the company didn't have anyone who solely concentrated on veteran hiring. However, we did and we do have an ERG, DuPont Veterans Network, which have always been involved in our recruitment efforts. The ERG has been involved with, you know, attending different recruitment events and doing different things to, you know, recognizing veterans. The DuPont Veterans Network's core strength is that although it's a corporate group, the chapters are site-based, meaning that there is a built-in support system for veterans at each site where we have an active chapter. Through today, transition support services have been mostly site-specific. So where a newly separated veteran will sync up with the local group for informal mentoring or benefits guidance. Some of our mature chapters have consolidated local resources for veterans, and some chapters consistently provide workshops where the VSO, veteran service officers, for those who do not know what VSO stands for, you know, to come in and provide an open workshop to educate the membership on what current services, public and private, are available for them. So through our merge and spin with DuPont, though, many veterans are popping up at sites where, you know, there's no network. So the corporate team has supported them virtually by mentoring, hooking them up with company support where needed, especially for those with disability-related issues. and work with them to set up a chapter. That's something that we're doing with a lot of these sites. You know, if we don't have a chapter, we are trying to create one with, so when we split from, you know, from Corteva and Dow, we took a lot of their employees and they took up a lot of hours depending on the industry that you were in. So right now, you know, we have new employees who were originally with Dow or Corteva, and they're veterans, and you know, we're starting to, you know, to capture all that information. So if we have a veteran in a certain location, then you know, we'll try to start a chapter with them, you know, to better support those that are coming into the company and for our different recruitment efforts. But some of the exciting things for the DVN that are in development at the moment includes an onboarding program where veterans can opt in to be paired with a veteran sponsor at their site. And we actually plan to kick that off in 2020. A longer term goal out of this program is to grow into a mentor bridge program, right? Where we have veterans in DuPont who are at every level of the organization, to include one of our SVPs, Darrell Roberts. Darrell Roberts served in the Army and now he's our Chief Operations and Engineering Officer. So, you know, that's awesome. So we want to enroll mentors and mentees at any stage of their career for mentoring development across DuPont. And our goal is not only to attract and recruit, but to help veterans successfully transition, develop them, and retain them in our company. So, you know, that's one of the things that we're working on right now. And that is to give veterans a better experience when starting with DuPont.
That's awesome. So a couple of things I just want to make sure that we highlight and have the listeners, you know, kind of pay attention to is I love that you're focused not only just the corporate office, but if a company has multiple locations, I've known a lot of companies who create veteran resource groups in their corporate office, but they don't have anything in field offices or, you know, remote locations to include the employees or the veterans in those locations. So that is awesome that DuPont has kind of a twofold. If there's not a veteran resource group, they'll try to start a chapter or they'll connect veterans in those locations with other mentors in other locations or there as well. So that is awesome.
Exactly.
And go ahead.
No, well, I was just going to say, you know, I've worked with other ERGs and, you know, with my previous position. And like you said, it's very different. We don't just have a corporate, you know, chapter, but we have chapters throughout. And it's really beneficial because, you know, let's say, for example, I'm traveling to Texas and I'm going to give a presentation on certain positions or I'm going to go speak to veterans. I can reach out to one of these ERG members and have them attend the program with me. That way they can also talk about their transition out of the military and their experience with DuPont. That way we don't just have recruiters up there talking about the company. You know, we also want to bring in experienced individuals to talk about their experience with the company.
Absolutely. And from my perspective and experience I've had, it really makes those out in the remote fields more connected to corporate. They don't feel like they're not included and they're forgotten. So that's great. The other thing that I want to just highlight from what you said is that the experience of onboarding and retaining. So it's so important when companies, you know, have a concentrated hiring effort. You know, they want to hire veterans. They check the box to say, hey, we hired 10,000 veterans. That's all well and good. But if you don't do something that helps them be successful in once they're hired, they're going to struggle. They're not going to stay. The turnover is going to be, you know, horrendous for those companies. And it doesn't take a whole lot for them to create programs where they're helping the veteran be their transition be successful. And honestly, that really applies to all non-veterans as well. Companies really having a focus on their training, their onboarding, and that experience that an employee gets when they start to work there and as they grow in their career. So that is awesome.
Absolutely. And, you know, I put myself in the shoes of, you know, the transitioning veteran who's maybe starting with a new company. I know how it felt for me I know the questions that I had, you know, as a veteran, as someone who never worked for corporate America. And, you know, sometimes a lot of those questions weren't answered. And we want to make sure that that's minimized here. We want to make sure that, you know, the veterans are having a great experience when starting with the company. We want them to understand our culture, and then we want them to, you know, understand how everything operates. If they have a question, they can go up to this sponsor or mentor and, you know, ask away. We know we'll pair them up for a month. And if we have them paired for a longer period of time, we'll do that. But, you know, it's definitely, we're not only trying to recruit individuals and retain them, but we're trying to develop them as well. And it's one of our major goals.
Absolutely. Which really not only benefits them as an individual, but it benefits the company.
Yeah,
and just really does, has a great ROI. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. So now just on a side note, I'm interested in how this came about. Tell us about the National Museum of the Marine Corps and the lifelike cast of you. What happened there?
Yeah. Now this is, I was extremely happy when I was asked to, you know, be a cast figure, because in my head, I'm like, I'm going to be 100 years old and I'm going to bring my grandchildren here and tell them that was me.
Exactly. That is outstanding.
Yeah. So right after my second deployment to Iraq, myself and a few buddies of mine were cut orders to serve under the Education Command in Quantico, Virginia. While we were there, we, and one of the main reasons why we got cut orders there is kind of like a decompression duty where, you know, you're not worried about, you know, combat training. You're not worried about deployment. You're just, you know, kind of decompressing from, you know, the previous deployments.
Sure.
But, you know, during my time at Quantico, I had the unique experience to tell my story to a lot of individuals who've never been in a combat theater. So I share my story with junior officers who were at OCS or TBS. I shared my story with individuals at the Marine Corps Museum, to include their historian, docents, and other members of their staff. And the reason I was doing this was because the Education Command wanted us to do this. They wanted us to educate a lot of these junior officers and, you know, senior individuals who've never deployed and onto what's happening overseas. And during that same time that, you know, I was giving a lot of talks, along with a couple of buddies of mine, Mark Wangler and Richard Tack, who, you know, I'll mention a little bit more here in a second. We were asked if we wanted to be casted for their brand new World War I gallery that it was due to come out a few years from then. We were extremely excited, and, you know, one of the major reasons they asked us to come out in this display was because the three of us served in Iraq together. On our second deployment, we were part of a military transition team as advisors to the Iraqi army, and a couple of things transpired that kind of made one of our stories, I wouldn't say famous, but known about in, you know, in that area in Quantico. And, you know, ultimately, the Marine Corps Museum historian, Patrick Mooney, who, you know, would later become a mentor and a very good friend of mine, asked me and, you know, my two other fellow Marines if we wanted to, you know, be displayed on their World War I gallery. And to add to that, I was born in Puerto Rico, and the historian was telling me that during World War I, we had a lot of Puerto Ricans serve, but, you know, that's not something that's mentioned a lot. And they really wanted someone, you know, with my background to also be in the display. So it was kind of like a twofold for them. So it was a great experience. And, you know, just to give you a quick rundown of, you know, the actual story as to we were asked to, you know, be part of this gallery, was that, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we were part of a military transition team. One day, one of our outposts was attacked, and it was the outpost where my buddy Mark and my buddy Richard were at. They were hit by a suicide bomber. I was about a mile away when this happened. And as a matter of fact, it was early in the morning and I just finished going to sleep because I had overnight radio watch. And all of a sudden, you know, huge explosion. We even felt it where we were. It knocked me off my bed. And next thing you know, we're putting on our gear and heading over to their location. We were met by small arms fire, RPGs, mortars, and things of that nature. We also had another, I guess, IED on the middle of the road that was kind of blocking us from moving forward to their location. So we did what we did, we had to do to try and blow it up, but it nothing happened. So we passed it, nothing happened. On the way back, after picking up, you know, my buddy Richard, who was shot in the leg, and one of the Iraqi soldiers who lost an arm, we were trying to take him to a safe area to get the medevac. That same IED was still on the side of the road, and as soon as we passed it, it blows up. And you know, I kind of feel the blast on the back of my head, but it just it doesn't do anything major to me or any of us. We were just lucky in that aspect. But you know, these things transpired when the suicide bomber hit their outpost. Tack was on the top of the roof and he got shot in the leg. Mark Wangler started running up the stairs when another explosion happened. He fell down the stairs. Then, you know, finally got up and ran back upstairs to be able to extract Tack out of the roof, pull him out of there. And then that's when we came in and, you know, took Tack and the other Iraqi soldier into a safe location for them to be medevaced. But, you know, that's that was the story as to why the three of us were chosen to be part of this display at the museum. So if you go to the museum and the World War One gallery, you're going to see a display of us three. You're going to see Tack in the back of a Model T truck. and we're all dressed as doughboys. And you see Wangler kind of supporting his wound. He got shot in the leg, and that's replicated on the cast figures. And then you see me kind of pulling supplies from the truck, and it's kind of simulating what happened to us in Iraq, but in a World War One type scenario. Wow. So that was great. The National Museum have a virtual tour that individuals can go to, hit the play button, and it'll tell you a little bit more as to what happened to us. But yeah, no, that's the major reason why they asked us to be on that display.
Well, congratulations. And I mean, and thank you for sharing that story and what you went through. I think I definitely hope that you will take your grandchildren there, because they certainly should see and be proud of their grandpa at that point. And the heritage that you bring, you know, to this country and from where you came from and what you've been through and all you've done. So definitely a great, proud story to be able to tell your grandkids. So thank you for that. Thank you for serving in that environment. And then for coming back and being able to, you know, tell those stories and help the Marine Corps learn from them. And learn, you know, how can we do that situation differently, or, you know, just things like that. So good for you. So so kind of as our last question here, share with us your advice to transitioning service members and veterans, and if they're interested in working at DuPont, your advice on putting their best foot forward.
Yeah, so for transitioning members, I would tell them to look into the Hiring Our Heroes program or SkillBridge program, which help veterans transition into corporate positions. And the reason I bring it up is because we're going to start getting involved with this program sometime next month. And the program is great. It helps transitioning members find a good corporate position with not a promise, but kind of like, if you do well during these 12 weeks, we're going to give you a permanent position. So that's kind of like the agreement. There needs to be a vacancy, and you know, we'll accept them into the program. And if everything goes well during those 12 weeks, you know, they're fully employed with the company. So I would tell, you know, transitioning veterans to look into that. Individuals who maybe been out or don't want to be part of this program, I would tell them to start doing a little bit more research on the company as to which industry they want to be a part of. We're a huge conglomerate, so you know we have positions everywhere for pretty much anything. So if they're interested, they should go into our careers page and do a little bit more research as to the positions that you know we typically hire for. If there's something they're interested in and you know they don't have the background for it yet, start doing something about obtaining you know that we're looking for. Also, I would tell you to you know reach out to us. We have recruiters. Myself, as a program leader, you can reach anyone can reach out to me, and I'll be more than happy to you know guide them in the application process. If I need to reach out to a hiring manager and get a little bit more information about a certain position, I can do that to just help to better prepare veterans for interviews and things of that nature.
That's awesome.
And one more thing that I will say that I say this to all veterans, and it has to do with their resumes. Make sure you tailor your resume for whichever position you're applying for, and you know try to get away from having acronyms on your resume. If you have acronyms, take them out and try to translate them into civilian form. I do that often with resumes that we get in here, but a lot of times, if a company doesn't have a veteran or someone who understands these acronyms or jobs, then you know they could be passed on. So you know you want to make sure that that doesn't happen you know to you. So make sure you tailor your resume for whichever position you're applying for, and you know translate everything into civilian terms.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the kind of really the foundations for Veterans Ascend is helping veterans. We built that skills translation engine that translates their military occupation into a skills profile so that it helps them say, all right, I did this. Here's my skills I have. And they can then speak that language as they go. So that's awesome. And congratulations on all that. And thank you, Ed, for your service. Thank you for what you continue to do for our veterans in your civilian role. We appreciate, really, truly appreciate you sharing your story and appreciate the great programs at DuPont and the initiatives to not only hire veterans, but to really make their transition and their careers with DuPont successful. So listeners, for more information on DuPont, please visit their website at www.dupont.com. And for more information on Veterans Ascend or to sign up today, please visit our website at www.veteransascend.com. Thank you, everyone. Thank you again, Ed. Everyone, have a great day.